Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to share on something very simple and very important. And in our teaching curriculum, some of the things I'm sharing will be a flow of thought from a sermon I preached about 2 years ago that I titled Chief Joy. Hallelujah. You see, something happened some time ago. About 2 years ago, traveling with my wife, and all of a sudden, every now and then, I will feel a tug from behind, like someone was, you know, just hitting me from behind. And I looked and I discovered it was a toddler who was doing that. I mean, not really a toddler. I mean, someone who I think was about 6. And you know, when you're trying to keep it cool, I love children, but this was getting out of hand. Moved from my side to my head, from behind. You know, add all of that. And, you know, at first you turn, you smile, you look at the baby, look at the mom, you know. Oh, I get the message. And after a few minutes, and you're like, you better get your child, you know. There's a way parents communicate with smiling, with facial expressions, like, understand this. And it kept happening. And I thank God, for some reason, I didn't react. Because eventually, I realized that the child was what we call a special child. You know, so I was very glad that I did not react. See, thank God for patience. I would have looked horrible and miserable, you know. In fact, maybe the parents even know me, or this pastor, you know. I thank God. There are many times God has saved me. I keep praying that God will help me not to fall your hand. You know, I mean, there was a time I was traveling with my mother-in-law, you know, and you know, I really love that family. And I mean, they've always treated me as a son. And we're traveling to see, I think, to a wedding of one of their relatives. Her husband is not around. I'm the only guy in the car. And with my wife and other relatives. And this guy was driving in a very funny way, was bent on overtaking us. And somehow, I think, whether he scratched us or we scratched him, I cannot tell. But there was a scratch. That's borderline language. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. You know? But it just, this Lagos thing happened. And this guy was furious and, you know, came down and wanted to fight and all of that. And I came down trying to talk to him. And next thing, he just pushed me on the chest. Now, you see here, it's one thing to know how to fight. It's another thing. I'm not trying to be derogatory, but he had a bad leg. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I thought about 7 different ways. You know, why are you laughing? That's so wrong. You know, and I just thank God I kept my cool. That's one of the times, you know, God is faithful. There's a guy I've been preaching to, trying to invite to church. So 2 weeks after, I'm at the mall, and he said, oh, I saw you, you know, on Lagos Ibadan Express Road. The one guy was trying to make trouble. I said, where were you? He said, I was on the other traffic, you know, I watched everything. I was like, hey, God, thank you for saving me. Yeah. Oh, my God, and I mean, this plain scenario was all the times, and I was just so glad. You see,
I said all of that to say this. Some ailments are more apparent. I mean, when you see someone who cannot walk, you can tell. When you see someone who cannot talk and they try to communicate, you can tell. When you see someone who cannot hear, you know, after a while you'll be able to tell. But you see, especially in the 21st century, we are more awakened to such a thing as mental health issues, you know, and people who have similar struggles with that. We're more awakened, you know, to the reality of such issues. And so the same thing you see in the early ministry of Jesus. He performed all kinds of miracles, opened blind eyes, made the lame walk. In fact, the Bible tells us that even the maimed were restored. And great miracles happened in Jesus' earthly ministry. But you have to understand that the ultimate reason he came was for something internal. Come on, are you with me? And so the same way when it comes to physical ailments, we don't realize that there are internal ailments that are as serious. Such is the realm of the spirit. So when you have a relative who has a broken soul, a soul that doesn't know God, a soul that is dead and inactive, it's not as apparent to you. Except, of course, that your mind is renewed with the word of God. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? And so when you come to a text like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you may open it as fast as you can. You know, you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. This is a totally different type of blindness. The other type of blindness is obvious and apparent. And you are more likely, from a logical, earthly standpoint, to want God to intervene there. You are more awakened to the urgency of that situation. But there is something called the blindness of the mind. Let me start from something social and something that you relate to every day. Has it ever happened that you found a meme that was very funny and you showed someone and the person, I mean, was not thrilled? I don't get it. What's the joke? Is there a comedian that cracks every rib in your body, but there's someone close to you that doesn't find the person funny at all? I know it's disappointing. When you laugh, and the person, what's that? And you show the person, it's like, like, bro, what's going on? Is everything okay? The same thing, you know. I can't remember what exactly happened last month. Just spending time praying, worshiping God, praising God, and thinking to myself, there are people who don't know this God. They're not interested. I honestly cannot understand it. So, for you to understand the severity of the matter at hand, Paul uses a metaphor to describe it. He calls it blindness. That when they see what you see in the Bible, they can't see glory. Their minds are blinded so that they cannot see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. When they look at the Bible, they don't see anything that interests them. And they're wondering why you're kneeling during worship and why tears are rolling down your eyes. And you know, they may call you dramatic and religious and all those kind of things because they don't get it. And Paul says, that's an ailment. It's not normal. He says the God of this world has blinded your minds. So listen, for such people, a miracle must also happen. And for carnal people like that, it is easy for them to see the need for God when it comes to material things. And so when they lacked bread, and Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. Actually, just 5 loaves. Now they are interested and they are looking for him. But he's trying to say, you know what? There is a bread come down from heaven. Me, myself. I want to be your interest. Now, they struggle with that one. Please, are you listening to me? They struggle with that. At what point in your walk with God can God begin to make demands and say, don't do this, don't do this? At what point do you begin to, if this makes sense, to reason with God? Let me tell you something. I think I've come to a point where even the things I don't understand in the Word of God, if there are any such things, I trust God. I trust God so much. If God says, don't go there, I don't want to know what is there. I'm telling you, because I have proven God to be true time without number. You know, I was on a podcast yesterday. I'm prepping your mind. So now when you see it, you know, my team thought it was a good idea to go and I was late to go. So prepare. You know, and I said, for instance, God's ideology when it comes to relationship, dating, you know, science, social science has proven it to be the right way time and again. The people who live together, even if they are not married, are twice as likely to divorce. Scientifically proven. How did God know? And that if you engage in premarital sex, you are more likely to end up with the wrong person. More likely. Scientifically proven. And there are many reasons. Number one, when you're having premarital sex, it makes you, it doesn't give you the sense of urgency with which you must address serious matters. There are red flags that before you can talk them through, by the time you start touching, you just sweep them under the rug. Before you know it, you are dating 3 years. And there is no point anymore. And now you just marry the wrong person and you're wondering, this monster was obvious from day one. But the monster was good in bed. It has to be said. And that as a lady, the more sexual partners you have, the less likely you are. You know, it's just like, have you ever been wanting to do artwork when you were a child and you discovered you were out of sellotape? And you went to a place where you had used sellotape before and you tried to rip it off to use it. Has that happened to you before? Now, each time you rip off the sellotape, the adhesive quality reduces. So every time a woman attaches herself to men, her ability to cleave, Bible language, is reduced. Again, now, if you don't hear Bible, hear science. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, so, I mean, when I discover all these things, I'm just like, why does it always have to take mankind and eternity to side with God? God who created all things. Because man will perambulate, and then eventually agree with God. You know, I was watching a video, you know, this morning, and someone said, you know what? Yeah, I believe that women have a right, a lady talking. I believe that women have a right, but eventually feminism went too far. And I was carried along too far. I just want to say I'm not doing it again. If there's a bug in the house, I don't want to be the one to try to kill it. I don't want to be the one climbing a high shelf to pick something when there's a man in the house. I'm not doing it again. And I said, well, you're welcome. And I'm not trying to start an argument with you. I'm just saying, I side with the word of God. Anybody like me there here today?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so, Paul is saying, there are some people, they are blind in their minds. They just can't see it. Have you tried to explain something very simple in the word of God and someone will be arguing and you're like, God help, you know, God abed. And so, now, I want to take you to a text you know very well. All of this is leading somewhere and I'm going to try to move with the speed of light so that you can get this. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. A text you know very well. He says, I will give you a new heart. God is speaking, right? He says, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Oh my God. So listen, this is how God will remedy this situation of blindness. What do you do when God expects you to act in a way that your natural, sinful, fallen human state cannot respond to? You don't have the interest, the appetite for those things. He tells you what he will do. I will put my spirit in you. He says, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I will animate you. Oh my God. I'll put my spirit in you and you will be animated to walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgments and do them. Say loud amen.
Amen.
This is powerful. I will enter you and be in you a new interest, a new preference. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, I've read this so many times before, but there is a text I seldom read that is very important. Look at verse 31 of the same chapter. Verse 31. You know what it says? It says, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will lose yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. The same things, those irresistible tendencies, those things you used to enjoy. He says, you will come to a point you will remember and be ashamed. I did that. Now tell me, has that happened to you before? You just, you know, oh my God, that thing is not good. It can be something in primary school. And you just be like, hey, I cannot, oh my God. Have you felt present shame for something that happened a decade ago? And you know, it's very bad when you have a sharp memory like mine. I have a vivid memory of my childhood. You know, some of you have heard me say this before. I met one guy who were classmates in nursery too. And so he had this injury on his knee. He must have, children, how they play, you know, bruised himself. And you know, when a wound is healing and it has that liquid, you get what I'm saying? So somehow we're playing and I kicked him there or something. And it was very painful. He cried. And so randomly, I will just remember that. In secondary school, I'll remember. University, I'll remember. You know, so I went to Abuja 2018 to preach. And I saw him there. And I just said, you know, by the way, I can't get it off my chest. Remember that thing that happened? You know, he said, where? You know? It's when I said nursery too, and I'm like, okay, that's, I shouldn't remember that. But I remember. I don't know how I remember, but I remember. I remember. Incredible details. Anyway, good thing is God said he will remember no more, Abby. So what am I doing with the memory? But think about it. He says, you will lose yourself. So It means your appetite can be so radically changed that the same you will say, "Oh, I feel bad I did that." And that is what we mean when we say Christianity is a miracle of changed desires. Changed priorities. Changed appetites. What's your favorite food? Plantain. I don't understand. Anyway, it's part of what I'm saying. Appetite difference. People who love plantain. It's overrated. If I'm eating rice, I put it on the rice just to make it look good. It looks colorful. That's all. That's an example of what I mean by appetite difference. What's your favorite food? Seafood. Oops. Oh my God. Hey, wow. It is people who have seen food that can like seafood. This seafood. What kind of fresh appetite is that? Now, just imagine that something happened to you. I don't even know if it's a medical possibility, but something happened to you, and then you wake up one morning, they serve you plantain, and you just taste it. First and foremost, you don't remember what this is. God forbid, that will never be you. You know? Then you taste it and you go, ew, and you spit it out. What is this? This is trash. Is it ever possible? You know, I want you to appreciate what God said he would do for you in your spirit. He will change your palates. Come on, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And the same things you... Make no mistake. Now, there are some of you strong Christians and you're like, I still like some things. So, like, God is helping me. I'm not doing them, but I still like them. Understand what I'm saying. What God does... Because maybe you may misunderstand what I mean by change of appetites. What he does is that he puts his spirit in you, and the things that were irresistible are no longer irresistible. That's what he does. Someone says, what does this have to do with joy? The theme of the month. I'm coming. Hold on. It has everything to do with joy. Amen. He will change something fundamental on your inside, the core of your spirit, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do it. Thank you, Jesus. And so Paul says to the church at Galatia, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, yeah, it's a possibility. It's not automatic. You must side with the spirit. So, it's the same way you can have a phone and there are features in the phone you're not using. Is that a possibility or not? Maybe it's on airplane mode or do not disturb or whatever reason. And so he's saying, if you live by the spirit, also walk, use what you have. What God promised in Ezekiel 36 is actually your reality. Side with it and partner with God in it. Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another so that you cannot do what you wish. And if you are led by the spirit, you are no longer under the law. And the third text I want to read to you now is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Very powerful. I think every one of you should know it. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, your appetite will show it. Amen, somebody. Seek those things. So, I'll never forget, I was doing something with my phone. This was years ago. And Pastor K said, you have this phone. This thing you're doing, you can do it faster because there's a feature that this phone has. And I said, oh, show me. And when he showed me, I went, wow, you mean it? I've been struggling all this time and the phone can do this. He said. And so that's what Paul is telling the church at Colossae. Well, there is a feature in you to be unlocked. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. He says, verse 2, set your mind. KJV says, set your affections. Can you say, set your affections?
Set your affections.
So listen, when you have a new decoder, there are channels you have access to, but you have to switch it on. And like it was in those days, you may have to turn the dish to face a particular side, you know. So you have access, you've paid for it, just set it. And so God is saying, do that to your spirit, do that to your spirit. You have this feature. And so if I come around someone who has the Holy Ghost and I'm not seeing these things, I'm like, come on, you have a lot of stuff you're not using. Set your affections. No longer will you say, I don't have the interest. He said, interest yourself. So you see, in the kingdom, there are legal realities and vital realities. And that's just theological jargon. Let me explain with this brilliant illustration. Just imagine that a suspect is standing before the judge, and then having looked at all the evidences before him, the judge, you know, just hits that his hammer and says, not guilty. Now, the moment he says that, the suspect is still in that box. What do you call that box? The witness stand, right? And maybe he, tell me. The dock, right? All right. So he's still in the dock, thank you. You know, and maybe the cuffs are still on his hands. And he still has prison clothes on. But then he's declared not guilty. The moment he's declared not guilty, he's free. But listen, the cuffs are still in his hands. And so that is a legal reality. Legally, he's free instantly. It becomes vital. When someone with the keys comes, let's loose the shackles, gives him his clothes, and then leads him out. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is a vital reality. Set your affections. The reason you can set your affections is because you are risen with Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because of your position, there are new attributes and attitudes that are fitting for your new location. This is very important. Let me tell you something. The reason I'm taking my time to tell you all these things is because joy in our kingdom is not a mere emotion. It's not a mere emotion. Listen to me. Someone who doesn't know the Lord, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, can come into our midst. And when we say, shout, the person can be incentivized to just join us. But just because the person is shouting, that's not, do you understand what I'm saying? That's not Bible joy. Make no mistake, Bible joy is to be demonstrated, but it is beyond the demonstration. There must be a position first. Number one, if you are risen with Christ, set your affections. So it means that what you are demonstrating must be an offshoot of your location. Are you with me?
Yes.
So it is just like someone whose palates have been changed, whose appetites have been changed. And now, the same you who would be interested in a sermon, you are intrigued from beginning to end. In fact, you took the remote, you went to the channel to watch it on your own. Because something has changed on the inside. This is how God changes us. Never forget it. He said, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Then you will keep my judgments and do them. It is first He who does it in you so that you can now align with what He has done and use the provisions that He has made you, enabled you to use, so that you can set your affections because He has raised you with Christ. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Joy is not an emotion. Joy is a new appetite. So I want to talk about the appetite. So this is the flow of thought. We first talked about pain and suffering and what the Christian must understand. I've done two sermons on that. Now, we are talking about what has changed. God has changed your engine. Have you ever tried to race, I'm not being derogatory, race maybe a Mercedes with your Corolla before? And as you were pressing it like this, it was loud. But it was not moving. It was moving, but it was not moving. Listen, and I'm not even saying one car is better than the other. It depends on your priorities. It depends on what matters to you. For you, if the kind of work you do, what you prioritize is fuel efficiency. By the way, Corolla is one of the best cars in the world. I'm telling you. Anyway, I'm not doing free advert for anybody. Sure, you get what I'm saying, right? You know, but when it comes to speed, there are some vehicles that will effortlessly do it. That's what joy is. A miracle. It's a miracle. So this is not Flintstones. You are not moving with your leg. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is an engine. Hi, are you with me? There is an engine that makes it possible. So even if you are pressing the throttle, you are not the one doing the work. You have a part, but you are not doing the work. You are enabled. There is an enablement from inside. And so, because of that, I have the right to question when I don't see you performing as you should. If you have a Mercedes that is struggling to maintain 60 kilometers per hour or miles per hour, what's it called? I don't know. Something is wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what Paul is saying. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. If I see a Christian who still struggles, you know, to flow with a service, in a church service, you still feel like a fish out of water. Everything is strange to you. You're struggling to dance. Struggling. They have to encourage you, maybe even threaten you. Are you aware there are churches that threaten? If your amen is not loud, something, John, is that what? I'm like, come on, man. But why? Why are you like this? So Paul has to tell such a person, are you risen with Christ? Set your affections on things above and not. So how do I know that I need to how do I know that I need to set my affections? Let me put it that way. Number one, if I lack the patience to learn,
Number one is what? Can I talk this evening?
Yes, sir.
All right. I mean, it's not like I wasn't going to talk if you said no, but I mean, there's something I see every now and then people talk about. And I know that they're probably just jesting, and it's just bands, and it's very hard to differentiate what is screws and what people really mean these days. But you hear people say, why is it that you come to church and we sing songs that we don't know? Oh yeah, I went there. Now, forgive me if I am wrong, but this is my number one observation. The people who talk that way are usually people who listen to a lot of secular music. Thank you for agreeing. They said yes. So the people who listen to a lot of secular music, that's number one. We will come to whether it is right or wrong later. But number one, they listen to a lot of secular music. And let me just tell you something about interests. You are not as good at multitasking as you think. You're not as good. So something has filled that space. Now when you come to church, you want the barest minimum. Sing the three songs we know and let's go. That's the problem. Because I want, listen, first and foremost, things are so bad in the church that first, you're not even first and foremost ashamed that you don't know some of these songs. Because someone who doesn't know any better will think that we sing 1,000 different songs in church. Is it true? Sometimes I'm like, let's even switch things up a little more. So what songs are really unfamiliar? And if you don't know these songs, what do you listen to? And even if you don't know them, that's why it's a church. You're in church to learn. And guess what? The lyrics are on the screen. You know. So now let me tell you something. If we are honest, you will discover there seems to be an appetite problem here. Because why can't I learn a new song with great lyrics that glorifies God that other Christians know? Everybody's singing, but you. Because you probably think you are in McDonald's. You want your own, which you sing the one that you like. The lyrics are on the screen. The lyrics are powerful. Clearly, a lot of people know the song. It's just you. The patience to learn. Let me tell you something. And this is, you can either call this a second point or the same point. Let me say something. The moment you find yourself losing staying power, there's a problem. When you find yourself saying things like, the service is too long, make no mistake, some services are long. Have you gone to a long service before? It's not the one you are talking about. I don't want to give examples. I will not give examples. Have you been to a service where they took offerings 6 times? They play. They play. I'm not going to talk about that. But you see, people, a service of 3 hours, 3 hours and a half, is long. Now, let me say this. I don't even know where to start talking about this from, but let me start this way. First and foremost, I'm impressed. I'm being sarcastic, in case you don't know. I'm impressed that you are so meticulous with your time. You know how to manage that. You have social media addiction. You stay with your phone and you don't know when 1 hour is past. But when you are in church, you know when it's too long. You know, because the moment The sermon is past 1 hour. An alarm goes off inside you. And yet you don't know what the problem is. You seem to be unaware that this is an appetite problem. The reason I'm saying this is because Paul says, set your affection. So those are things you need to work on. Those are things you need to work on. If I don't know so many gospel songs, what do I know? What am I listening to? What do I know? Someone sent me a video, you know, someone was talking about singing songs you don't know, you know, and all of that, and used our content. Now, the song that we sang that day was released, I think, 2008. There's a problem. I don't know if you get what I'm saying now. There's a problem. It's a problem. First and foremost, there's a problem with the church because the songs our parents used to listen to used to have five stanzas, remember? And they knew it. Your parents knew hymns that had six, seven, they knew it all. But now, our songs are even simpler. I don't like that. Because if it's simpler, it means there's less theology. Now, we'll just repeat one word. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that's what we are doing now. And guess what? Some people still have a problem with that. We'll just say one word and echo it. Yeah. That's what we're doing now. How many recent gospel songs do you know that have three verses? Please. Laugh, but understand that this is a serious matter. We are getting poorer with theology. And maybe what we need to be emphasized in the church is that you are not a customer. You are a disciple. So if you don't know the song, well, that's why you came. Are you with me? If you don't know the song, that's why you came. Learn it. Because if you learn it, we believe the songs were chosen intentionally to edify you. They were crafted so that you can be blessed. That's why. That's why. And you may need it. You may need it. Sometimes you may be in trouble. That's where you will set your spirit. Nothing. Nothing. The songs that will come out in the day of trouble. I don't want to give examples. That's when you will know there's a problem. Another sign that you need to set your affections is that you hardly share the things of God. Let me tell you something. If you want to know what you are really interested in, look at the things you share. And by share, I mean the things you talk to people about. There is something about joy, a very simple symptom about joy. Joy is not complete until it is shared. It's a very simple. So listen, if you see a meme or skit that you consider very funny, you have like four people that you share it immediately. Isn't that true? And now what happens when you share it to someone who hasn't seen it? You are waiting for the response. You are refreshing. The person has not responded. What do you do next? You call and say, guy, check your DM now.
that's what you do. Because it looks like your laughter is not complete until someone laughs with you. But then, if you don't share sermons, what does it say about your appetite? That you've never seen a sermon excerpt that stirred you and you felt, my bro needs to hear this. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying, set your affections. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Set your affections. Set your affections. When you're talking with people, God never comes up, even by accident, like just even by slip of tongue. Maybe you are even the first to say, we're not in church. We're not in church. Maybe you're even the first. Set your affections, because joy is an appetite. And I want to show you something. Listen, I said all of this, all that I've been saying to lead to this. So this is very important. Turn your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. Please read as loud as you can. Hold on. First and foremost, just an observation. The energy on this side is greater than the energy on this side. Those of you here, say aloud, hallelujah. You set your affections. All right, are you in Hebrews 1:9? Read together with me. 1, 2, go. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Now, listen. This is oil of gladness. And it is not just for you to be glad. This follows the principle, first and foremost, of he that has more will be given, all right? So the oil of gladness is not producing something new. It is amplifying what was already, do you understand? What was already there. So now, he says, you loved righteousness. You hated lawlessness. He says, therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness. So the oil of gladness makes you interested in the things that please God. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It says oil of gladness. It makes me love righteousness and hate lawlessness. I think this is a dimension of joy. So joy is not just laughter. Joy is an appetite issue. That first and foremost, it is not about Christian music being played. It is that I love God. And there are things that I would otherwise be interested in, but you see, that appetite has been taken out of my flesh. Are you with me? So this is Bible gladness. It's first appetite, not an emotion. Forget about your sorrows and laugh and shout. There is time for that. That's an exercise. But it is first a matter of priority. You loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. You know, that's one of the ways you know you are growing. This is a simple measure for carnality or for spirituality. Not just loving righteousness, but hating lawlessness. So when you see that some things that used to be a big deal for you are no longer as big a deal, there is problem. There's problem. I want to tell you something. There are some songs you should never sing. It doesn't matter how popular they are. You should never sing. You should have a problem with it. You should have a problem with it. And these things are no longer popular. In fact, if you say this in some Christian gatherings, in some Christian parties, in fact, this is the shocking one, children's parties, you will hear some songs being played and you're like, what is going on here?
get me wrong. Do I look like a boring person to you? I like good stuff, but don't let the devil paint a picture and suggest to you that it has to be sinful to be delightful. It's not true. It's not true. For a child of God, it is never just about the beats. I will take you seriously. What you say in your song, I will take you seriously. You can't tell me it's just vibe. I'm taking you seriously. If you are a thief, I will hear it in your song. I will take you seriously. If you are a murderer, I will hear it in your song. I will take you seriously. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. That is a symptom of the oil of gladness. Not just that you are jumping in church. Come on, are you with me? It is righteous appetites. Blessed is the man who does not walk, who does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. All right? He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh my God. So meaning, the law of God can become a delight, not just a duty. You see that? His delight, that's the oil of gladness I'm explaining. His delight is in the law of God. And upon that law does he meditate day and night. He says, blessed, such a man is blessed. That's where the blessing is. That's where the blessing is. And listen, the good news is, if you are born again, I'm not telling you of something you lack. I'm telling you of something you have that you must exercise. There is an oil of gladness. You can well it up. And the way you can well it up and stir it up is by siding with it, doing things that are consistent with it. You have loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Start putting those checks and balances in your life. Start putting those checks and balances in your life. What are the things that you have started tolerating that are not right? They're not right. There are some movies you shouldn't be comfortable watching. There are some movies you shouldn't be comfortable watching. Let me tell you something you have not noticed about yourself. The subconscious mind is very powerful. Your subconscious mind cannot differentiate fiction from reality. Have you ever watched a movie and cried? If you have cried before, raise your hand. Don't be with your full chest. Now, question is, did you not know it's a movie? But you cried. Now, laugh, but hear what I'm saying. Because your mind cannot separate fiction from reality. You see, the devil knows that. And so you still keep telling yourself it's just a movie. But the devil knows that your subconscious mind cannot differentiate the two. And so you are being programmed. You're being programmed. Get conscious of that. You know what the Bible says? It says, guard your heart with what? All diligence. That's an allusion to a custom officer. A custom officer stays at what's it called? At the border to make sure that only things that are legal cross. Your mind has a border. He says, stay there. Watch the things that enter. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. I want to show you something. Oh my God. Turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Now, in the context is very severe, so... But I'm driving at something. It says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also what? Approve of those who what? So we've talked about what you do. Now we're talking about what you approve. What you approve. So God doesn't only say, don't do it. He's saying, don't approve of those who do it. Don't approve of those who do it. Oil of gladness. The manifestation of the oil of gladness in your life is this. Not that you jump and you shout glory, but that you love righteousness and you hate lawlessness. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He says, for you were once darkness. Everybody read verse 8 together. 1, 2, go.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit.
Do you see that legal and vital thing? You are light. Walk like it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Read verse 8 again together. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. And it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. It says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Everybody read verse 11, 1, 2, go. You see that? Have no fellowship. Have no fellowship. So, my response, I can talk to you, right? Mm-hmm. My response to internet fraud is not, you know what, it's wrong, but economy hard. Mm-mm. That's not my response. My response is not subtle. It's not subtle. Please, are you with me? Have no fellowship. Have no fellowship. Once I was darkness, now I'm light. I will walk as a son of light. Amen, somebody. So I'm not just a Christian, you know. Your friend is dating a Christian. But you know that friend has seven is dating seven other people. I mean, you are not doing stuff like that, but you are in on it. You are following the person to deceive. You're following our wife. I mean. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, rather reprove it.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Is that the word of God or not?
Yes,
so there's a balance. It's not just interest. It's also reproof. What do you reprove? And what do you approve? That's the balance of the oil of gladness. You love righteousness. You hate iniquity. And when you do that, you will discover that you're encouraging the ministry of the Spirit in your life. You have to understand how habits develop. Someone gave a formula. Repetition, easy. Meaning, if you repeat something, it becomes easy. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Then easy, often. If it is easy, you are more likely to do it often. The first time, those of you who play video games, especially the guys here, when you, what was your first experience playing football? FIFA. They gave you like 13-0, Abi. They gave you 13-0 or 15-0. And you know all those wicked uncles, they don't care you as a child. They say, don't worry, keep playing. They will score.
My God.
And but as you kept at it, it became easier. And when it became easier, you did it often. And when you did it often, it became a pleasure. And when it became a pleasure, it became a habit, right?
Yes.
Bad habits and good habits are formed the same way. So you must learn to sit with the Word of God. Listen to gospel songs. Listen. Respond in church. When it's time to pray, pray. Come on, are you with me? In fact, Kenneth Hagin, of blessed memory, will go so far as to put it this way. He says you can even start so-called, quote-unquote, in the flesh and wind up in the spirit. Meaning, because I know that this is how I'm supposed to be responding, I'm supposed to pray, oh, I don't feel like it, I will animate it. Just the same way, when you know you need to sleep and you're not feeling sleepy, what do? You turn off the light, you lay in bed, you cover the duvet. And before you know it, you wake up. You don't even know when you slept. That's what happens. That's what you must do in the realm of the spirit. Come on, are you with me?
Yes,
don't just say, I don't feel like praying. He says, set my affections. So how do I set my affection? Oh my God, I remember when I was learning to pray, I thought I would die. I'm telling you the honest truth. Have you prayed and in your mind, I've done 20 minutes, you check, 3 minutes. Has it happened to you? Don't lie. Don't lie. In your mind, you don't wait. How long can you wait? In your mind, you have cover, you know? Let's check 5 minutes. You know, the person that was training me then, I will never forget. I was on a field. We were praying. So he said, pray. In my mind, I don't wait. I've traveled. I can never forget. I just checked time. 5 minutes. I said, this is assassination. Like, this one I thought I've prayed long. Listen, this is the thing. If spiritual things are long for you, it means you fed your flesh. That's one of the ways to know. It's one of the ways to know. If the sermon is always long, your flesh is alive. That's why. If the prayer is always long, when will, the same way you watch movie and time goes, you are on social media and time goes, when will you forget yourself in prayer? Or you think it doesn't happen to people? Have you ever forgotten yourself in the place of prayer? Have you ever had withdrawal symptoms when you stood up, you know you were not done praying? I can't explain what I'm saying. God helped me. See, it got to a time, 1 year after, the same me, I'm talking about 2007. If I go hours without praying, I begin I don't know if it was a physical, I don't know, I can't explain it. My stomach, I will feel something like this. An irritation from inside. I can't explain it. Then everything will start annoying me. Like, it was a serious... It happened on my convocation. Just imagine friends and family were there, you know, to celebrate with me, taking pictures. And then I will never forget. I was picturing my Bible open, what I was reading that morning, 1 Corinthians. And I was just like, God, let these people go. I can't explain it. It's real. Spiritual appetites are real. You can stir it up inside you. Hallelujah. That's the real joy. That's the real joy. It's not mechanical. You are not trying to do what the crowd is doing. It's from inside. I'm telling you, there is something inside you. He says he will put his spirit in you and cause you to walk according to his statutes. You will keep his judgments and do it. You will love prayer. You will love the word of God. You will love fellowship with the saints. When someone you've never met before, but you discover is a believer, and you feel kindred spirits. That's what I'm saying. Oil of gladness. Oil of gladness. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's your real defense against persecution. You must love the secret place to say, if God be for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a satisfaction you derive from there. Have you ever prayed and you feel like, if it is me and this Holy Ghost against the world, I'm okay. That's what happened. I came from somewhere to come out and sing. I will never forget. It was a midweek service like this. I had prayed in the office. Service was going on. So they came and knocked. It was time for me to preach. So I came, picked the microphone, and for the first time sang, Holy Ghost, you and I will change the world. I don't mind the whole world singing it. But it came from a place, I can tell you honestly, unfortunately, not many people have been there. That midweek service, we were not more than 50. And I said it then, Holy Ghost, you and I will change the world. Everything that is happening now, I touched it. Hallelujah. God is calling us deeper. He's not calling us, you know, oh my God. He's calling you to higher desires and higher appetites. He's luring you. Will you listen to him? What if he changes your prayer life this month? Changes your study life this month? And then you know, where, like the psalmist described, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul hungers for you. Like a dry and weary land where no water is. Oh my God. That miracle is inside you. It's waiting for you to partner with it. Just talk to him right now. Talk to him right now. Talk to him right now. Talk to him. Encourage that work of the Spirit inside you. Fan the flames. The Bible says to fan the flames of the gifts of God. In what ways are you going to fan the flames? I want you to pick your notepad. I'm giving you 2 minutes. Write out things you would do, maybe beginning tonight, tomorrow. Hallelujah. Next tomorrow, to fan the flames of this joy, this oil of gladness. How will you partner with God? What books will you read, both of the Bible, you know? And this sermon will not be complete without a call to action. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And what will you not do? Some of you, you need to change your playlist immediately. Thank you. Change your playlist immediately. Some of you will need to change your inner circle immediately. Therefore, and that's the good news, God responds to obedience like that. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We are doers of your word and not hearers alone. And I thank you because you are teaching us this to prepare us for the next phase of our walk with you. Because you have more for us. And so you are drawing us again to the secret place to build more stamina, more staying power, to reassess our priorities and to build and encourage our appetites in you. Thank you for such a thing as joy in the Holy Ghost. The things of the Spirit. We savor the things of the Spirit. We have an appetite for you because you have made us alive in you. You've taken out the stony heart from our flesh, given us a heart of flesh. And we love you for it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, say loud amen. Were you blessed? If you were blessed, you will show it. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.